This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Welcome back to part two of Wow, What a Week. Our guest, Utaha Kada, Kobodaman, Kopitori. She's from the township of Mabopane and is a product of an all-girls school. And she's a former rodent. No, it's in Lehot. She went to Rhodes University. She's a soccer team owner and an actress and speaks fluent Spanish. Her flair and love for language and accents came in handy for playing the character Camina in The Queen, whom fans loved to hate. We almost lost her to medicine, but because she's squeamish, she's forced to heal us with her other gifts. You may have also met her through the role as traditional healer Zagiti in Isibaya, or in the movie The Silverton Siege as Rachel. Please give a wild welcome to the incredible, the inimitable, the effervescent, the, I'm throwing big words I don't know, Michelle Mosalakai.
Whoa, thank you so much.
Hey, that's Mitch.
Crazy. Hi.
How are you doing?
What an intro. My goodness.
No, the thing is the greater the star, the
Whoa,
greater the intro.
My goodness. Like, I am blushing. My face feels like it's about to explode. Thank you.
What's up?
Geshaf, kimonadi, no complaints
no,
at all.
On.
How do you know some of those things? That's crazy.
I know. The thing is, when you're a fan, and the thing is, because I've been a fan of your work for quite a while, and
yeah.
I've been saying to my office, if this year, if it,
wow.
That's okay.
Oh my gosh.
They must look for new work.
No, stop.
I'm for real. So they made it with
That's
4 or 5 months to go.
Oh
so,
my God. Well, at least they got secured their jobs.
So well done to my team.
Exactly.
You're here with your mom. Why is your mom here?
Yeah, I'm here with my mom. I go with her everywhere. She's my manager,
okay.
My best friend, my helper, my guide, my everything. So she's always with me everywhere I go.
Deciding whether to have a momager or to get a manager, what goes into that?
Gosh, a lot. I think when I initially made the decision, I just knew. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Sure.
This is the person who knows me the best. She's somebody who's very good at learning new things, good with people.
Sure.
And so it was an easy decision. But as time has gone on, there's a lot of things that I would never have made a different choice, but I would say that it's not the easiest, obviously, working with a parent.
I was going to say, this next question, I need you to think very carefully before you answer it.
Yeah.
It's a two-part question.
Okay.
Why you should have your mom as your manager.
Okay.
And why you shouldn't have your mom as your manager.
All right. Well, why you should.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she would be the best person when it comes to negotiating any sort of contract or assessing whether or not an environment is, you know, good for you and your in every way, you know, financially, mentally, emotionally. So she has my best interest at heart.
Absolutely.
Why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm a bit nervous because she is here, but I don't know. I think that you see the roles of manager and mother and daughter and I guess what client begin to...
And there's no switch, baby.
No, yeah. You know, so sometimes I don't know, I wouldn't say we argue a lot, but I think that we have had to find better ways to communicate, which I don't think is a bad thing. You know, I just think that if you're not ready to change and improve and grow and get to know someone better, then maybe it isn't the best decision. But I think we're both open to finding new ways of communicating with each other.
How bad did it get between the two of you
as
you were finding each other? Because as a mother, obviously, sometimes she doesn't know when to switch that off.
Right.
But as a artist, you also want to be treated like an artist.
Absolutely.
And not as your child.
Absolutely.
How bad did it get before you found a rhythm?
It's a really amazing question and quite relevant because this is what we were talking about last night. Because we did have a little bit of a disagreement. But then it was about us going into that question, which is, when do you turn on the one and switch off the other? But I said to her, I think I chose you as my manager because you're my mother. I don't think I would have chosen you just because, I mean, she's good at what she does. I think I would have still chosen you, her, in, even if she wasn't my mother, but that was an integral part of it, knowing who she is. So I think that we've at least now been able to balance the two quite well because I still see her as her own independent person. At least now, because of all the things we've gone through. Before, maybe I only saw her as my mom and this person who knows everything. And she knows a lot. She's very wise, but she's also human, you know. So I think it's helped me understand her complexity.
What would you say about your industry shocked her the most?
Good question. There's not a lot that shocks her, to be honest, but I think maybe the extent of which people can be insincere. I think that she really does try to take what people say at face value, but right now, or at least now in our work together, she's a lot more skeptical. Because that's the reality, I think, of any industry, really, but this one more so. You can't just trust, and you need to kind of surround yourself with people who are sincere. So I think that shocked her the most, that people will say something and not really truly mean it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of, I say it for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Versus I actually meant it.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. So it's like that's something that I've also had to learn, because I think I'm similar to her in that way.
Sure.
So yeah, it's good though. You know, some of these things aren't bad. When you learn difficult lessons, they shape you and shape your character. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Last night before you went to bed,
yes,
what did you pray about?
Wow. This interview. Yeah. Definitely. So many things, you know, career, my soccer guys, I pray about them every day, every night. Just to have peace in my heart and to live each day and as to be present with each day. That's always my prayer, and just asking God for protection.
And then when you woke up this morning?
Pretty much the same prayer, just thanking God for the day.
Thank God I'm awake.
I'm awake, thank goodness I'm still here, heart is beating, we're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much that. I think that I've also just, my prayers have become more about gratitude than anything else. Yeah, just being present.
And that's a conversation I had with some of my boys the other day, that I know some of you only pray when the shit hits the fan. Versus you should pray every day.
I couldn't agree more.
You must thank Braji just for allowing you to wake up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. That means you have purpose. And that in itself is a blessing. So that's great.
He's trusted you with another 24 hours.
Exactly. So, you know, that in itself is like, you're good, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more.
You were saying you pray for your soccer team.
Yes.
You are the chairperson.
Yes, exactly.
Why on earth do you have a soccer team, Michelle?
That's such a good question. I ask myself that every single day. What am I doing?
Okay, so tell us about the day,
if
you recall, that you're like, okay, soccer team it is.
Gosh, it's quite a complex question, because I think I've loved soccer my whole life. My gran was a soccer fan. So it was so ingrained in me. But I think the day where I said, okay, let me start a team with my mom and my mom's partner, who's our coach. We were watching a lot of soccer, actual games, you know, going to, they call it like gambling or tournaments.
Yes. Sure.
And it was so exciting. And our coach had been involved with soccer for a while. So I think we kind of just sat down with my mom, because she's really good with that, always trying to see how do we make this sustainable long term. So she just said, I think we need to see how we can make this more professional.
Absolutely.
You know, because they were, our coach had a small team, but it wasn't really anything that was professionally registered. So I think it just kind of gradually, as we were going to the gambling and tournaments, we realized that, okay, there's a lot of talent here. A lot of guys really want to play professional football. Let's start Armor FC, which is what happened 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's when the inception started. That's when we registered the company or the football club as a company. And then, the rest is really history. You know,
What's in a name? Why Armor FC?
So it's from the scripture in the Bible, Ephesians 6 from verse, I think, 10 or 8, about putting on the full armor of God.
Yes.
Because for
in
us...
In case there's an arsenal coming towards you.
There we go, exactly. You know, just sort of... And this is what we stand for, just equipping our players with mental and spiritual protection. Because I think at the end of the day, no matter what industry you find yourself in, there are going to be challenges. So you do need to be, or at least try your best to arm yourself, especially spiritually. Because sometimes life will show you flames,
Life has a way of just humbling you.
So much.
And sometimes you've done nothing wrong.
Exactly.
You know, you're minding your own business.
Exactly.
And life just says, come here.
Hello.
I want to show
I've arrived.
You this.
Exactly. You know, so if you're not ready mentally and spiritually for that, it's hard to overcome those sort of challenges that sometimes you don't even understand why this is happening or have any sort of answers to, you know?
Would you say the name of your soccer club?
Yes.
Is also a metaphor for how we ought to live this life.
Absolutely.
That be forearmed all the time.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know what's coming.
Absolutely. That is so good. Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. And I think that especially spiritual, arming yourself spiritually is at the heart of it. And for our, you know, family and team, you know, our faith is integral to everything we do. So some things, even if you try, which is good, you know, you try to be mentally strong.
Absolutely.
You can feel a little bit down, but with God, I feel there's a strength that it's not about you. It's like the weaker you are, the stronger he is, you know? So absolutely. I think that's a excellent metaphor.
Soccer development in the township, because ultimately that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
What would you say are your big challenges as a club?
Sure. My goodness, what a loaded question.
How long do we need? 2 hours?
Oh my goodness, seriously. It's actually heartbreaking. I'm not going to lie. It's heartbreaking. I'm a researcher. Like, this is my passion, especially as a...
Let me tell you why I agree with you about it being heartbreaking.
Yes.
I remember there was some dudes who were doing a soccer tournament for kids in the township. I think it was Heritage Day about 15 years ago. And he said to me, all we need is just meals for these kids. Because majority of them play on empty stomachs.
They do.
And they are so talented. And all he said to me was, just please provide meals for two teams.
100%.
That's all I need from you.
That's so true. And it's still like that, you know. So it's the basic needs are not met at all. And then, like you're saying, is that there's so much talent, but, you know, how far can you go when you are hungry and starving, you know? So, a lot of our guys have come to practice or games, and you can see that they haven't had a meal, you know. So... That for us was starting to worry, you know, it was starting to worry us a lot because you can see how talented they are, how passionate and dedicated they are. But then this basic need not being met is really affecting them and also has the potential to kind of pull them away from the thing that they are passionate about. So. We did a lot of research. My mom and I even went to the station commander in Diep Sloot to kind of just sit and figure out, like, what is happening? You know, why is there so much, strife here? And the main thing he pointed out was that I think at the time he said the biggest issue or the biggest, I don't want to say criminal, you know, but, a young boy, I think, who's like 15 was like kind of, you know, a tyrant in the community. And I first thought I didn't hear him. I said, well, how old? 15? Like that to me is just like, what's happening?
It's
you
wild.
Know,
it's
what's
wild.
Going on? Yeah. You know, but there's a lot of neglect and I don't know. This is why I always encourage for, like, you know, as much as possible for there to be a mother and a father in a home. There's a reason why, you know, traditionally it has been like that. And I don't think that it means that homes will be broken if they have single parents, but I think that when there are two parents, there's
a family unit almost guarantees a different outcome.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So that then became our sort of, we took that on as, okay, well, now we're going to be a family, not just a soccer team.
Sure.
So now it's a, from as much as we can, we, you know, provide, you know, them with toiletries, food, clothes, every single thing, stipends as much as we can. But it has,
How's the team doing?
Really well. Yeah. Really well. I think I'm a very competitive person. So sure. I don't, like, it's not just about that. It's like about ticking, it's holistic, you know. So we're doing well. We got promoted to this, it used to be called the SAB League, but now it's the SAFA Johannesburg Men's Regional League, just under the ABC Motsepe team league. So right now we're looking at...
So ABC is your next
It's
target.
Our next, exactly. We're looking at... I mean, I think we're starting on the 7th of September. The league is beginning in the on the 7th of September, and we are literally all focused, every single one of us, the team, management,
Please tell our people into camera why they should sponsor your team get involved in your team.
Okay, so one, I think if you are passionate about football, this is the kind of team you want to be involved with. We at the heart of it, care about youth development. We care about putting our players in the best situations. We actually recently went and played with the first team of Kaizer Chiefs, which was an experience, I think, that has changed their minds, their passion and talent, you know, so placing them in spaces where they will get the best opportunities is you know, a huge part of our mission growth mindset, you know, so if that is something you are passionate about, we welcome any sort of help and support. And I think that if you just want to see people doing well, you know, people who need a helping hand do well and truly know that our hearts are about making a difference.
Absolutely.
Then I would encourage help, please.
Before we move from Armor FC.
Yeah.
Being a woman chairperson of a team.
Oh my gosh.
Do you ever feel like if I was a man, maybe they'd listen differently?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I see it on the grounds. I think, you see, when because I love soccer so much, I am there. Like, I'm even giving suggestions on subs, like, coach, maybe you should sub this person and do that. So I think that in itself already makes certain people or men look at you a bit weird. Like, why is she even here? You know, so definitely I do think so. But I think that that's not something that I keep at the forefront of my mind, you know, because then it will make me maybe change the way I interact with people. But now I think that they're just used to it. You know, they're like, we know, you're trailblazing, bulldozing. You kind of have to be you have to overcompensate a little bit sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think there's also something about the feminine touch in business.
Oh my goodness.
That allows you guys to operate in a way that might unlock more than the way we do things as men.
My goodness.
And I think for women in business, I always advise, be careful not to switch it off.
Wow.
Because you're trying to step up to the men.
Wow.
Because your feminine touch is a superpower already.
Absolutely.
But now if you're going to think, I'm one of the boys, you're not one of the boys.
No, exactly.
And chances are you're there because you're not one of the
100%.
Boys.
100%. No, I think that's amazing. I think that's so insightful of you to say, because I think a lot of people would not encourage that. You know, I think that there's this energy of like women being too agreeable or something. But there is something... like you're saying, that feminine touch is important. You know, it there's a also like a spiritual touch, you know, where you have this intuition about something that I feel like is innate to being a woman. And there's something very important about that. You just feel things differently. And it's a good tool, I think, to use in business. So
absolutely.
100%. You're so right. Yeah.
Let's go back to childhood.
Yeah.
What are some of your fondest memories of growing up, Komabupani?
Wow.
Komotaman.
Gosh, so many. I think the one that sticks out is just my connection with my gran.
Okay.
Similar to how close I am with my mom, I was close with her and she was close with her mom, but she just made life so exciting, you know, from her storytelling and her just like sometimes when I'd go to bed, I'd find like a chocolate under my bed or sometimes I'd like scream her name because she would like, she loved her garden.
I was raised by the wrong grandmother. A whole chocolate under your pillow.
Look, it wasn't happening every night. Let me tell you that she was very strict, but you know, when it happened, it was, you know, it was so fun. But I remember her always saying to me, like I would scream her name, you know, trying to figure out where she is because she had a garden and she would, you know, be in her garden and she'd come to me and say, don't scream my name at night. You're going to get, like, they're going to steal your voice away, yes, you know? Yes, so all these like crazy stories and things are probably why I then went into acting or storytelling. But I think that growing up in Mabopane was like, I connect that closely with my gran, her love for soccer, her love for Kaizer Chiefs and running down the street.
To say, she better have been a Kaizer Chiefs
fan. Oh my God.
Otherwise, you must leave now.
No, you're a Kaizer Chiefs fan. Oh my goodness, I'm so happy. I never meet Kaizer Chiefs fans.
No, where were they?
Oh my goodness. I'm so happy.
So what about these pirates?
Literally, everyone I know, my mom, Sundowns. Oh my goodness, I can't. Yeah, so, you know, she loved Kaizer Chiefs. That was also where my love for Kaizer Chiefs started. And she would just, she had this loud whistle and whistling. And, you know, yeah, those were my fondest memories.
Now, you're born in a different skin as a child.
Yes, yes.
How do you navigate your childhood and how are your family by your side in that navigation?
Yeah, so integral in that navigation. If it wasn't for them, I do not think I would be where I am or even have like the confidence I have, you know, in my skin. Once again, from my mom, my dad, my gran, they were all intentional about every single decision they made about my life. So I think when I was born, my mom immediately got me a dermatologist, you know, best dermatologist, best doctor.
So she knew what she needed to do immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Well, I think she did know, but she also felt like she needed to equip herself. So she actually went to a library at that time, I guess, because you didn't have Google or whatever.
Absolutely.
So she would go to libraries and just read and read and read. My gran also had like a crèche and she said, I'm leaving the crèche. I'm just going to focus on my granddaughter. Everyone was sad, but I think that it was for her an opportunity to just instill.
So as a child, what did you understand was happening with your skin?
You know, it's interesting because I knew I was different because when my mom and my gran and my dad would interact with me, they would say, you're beautiful. Thank you so much. Gosh. But I wouldn't say I felt.
You never felt like you are
like an outsider
or other.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. And I think it does go back to the intentional choices that my mom and my gran and my dad made at the time and being very strategic about even the schools that I go to, for example, you know, so that definitely helped me just be confident and not have an issue or feel different. And also the people that were around me were treated me just like anybody else.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, when you look back, is there ever a time you wish or you feel like maybe you were overly mollycoddled versus treat me normally or don't make me feel like I'm different? Because sometimes we do that unintentionally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unintentional.
You're not trying to make a person feel like that different.
Yeah.
But inadvertently you end up being
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so. I mean, now, for example, I think of things like I loved swimming and I was like in this, you know, which is difficult, obviously, with my skin. But I remember my gran being there the whole time and then she would call me and put sunscreen on me and then I'm back in the pool again. So it just, there were things that were happening, but they didn't feel like they were like things. She needs to do this and she needs, it's like, yeah, I wear a hat, but so do these other kids. And yes, I put sunscreen and so do these other kids,
absolutely.
You know, so... No, I don't think it ever felt like it was too much. You know, I think it was just the right amount, probably because of the intention behind it.
And dating, did you ever feel like someone is macking on you because you're different or because they're curious?
Good question. Yeah. I don't think so. No. Yeah. And I'm also like very picky with just the people around me, you know? I think that from the beginning, or at least the, what can I say, the energy that I give out is that that's not an option around me, you know. So that's never happened before, and I've just always also been intentional about the people that I've accepted into my close space, you know.
Are you dating?
I am.
Mm-hmm. And hashtag dating Michelle. Yes. What does Michelle look for in a partner or a potential life partner?
Gosh.
What are the boxes that must be ticked?
Okay, first box, I think.
And also,
yes.
What red flags are forgivable and what red flags are not?
Oh my goodness gracious.
Because some flags can be turned into green flags.
Do you think so?
I believe so.
Really?
There are red flags that you can tell that this one is damaged goods.
It's just done, yeah. Okay.
But there's red flags that
you
can tell that maybe they don't know better.
Yeah, okay. Good point, yeah. Yeah, I think, okay. Well, first box, I think, is just faith. And I think that, you know, having a close connection to God is the main one.
So let's be equally yoked. First things
there
first.
There we go. Number one, things first. That's the main one. Mm. And then I think just being compassionate and caring, passionate about what you do. My partner is a musician. He's a drummer. Mm. He's so passionate about what he does. And
so you guys are equally yoked. You bring drama. He brings drama.
You know what? And the thing is, I feel like he's so kind of the opposite of what you would think a musician is. You know, it's like you would never, if you met him, you wouldn't think that, oh my goodness, this guy is like full on drummer, you know. Absolutely. Which I think there's something quite exciting about that to me, you know, being able to still be who you are in a space that might change you or something, you know. So I've thank goodness I haven't encountered any red flags with him, but definitely we've had our, like any relationship, our ups and downs. But I think our main thing is that we always have to communicate, and we always have to find a way to figure out. And I always say to him, I was like, for me, the main question in life is why. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we where we are? Why am I saying the things? You know, if you can't answer or at least try to answer why, you'll always kind of be stuck in believing that what you believe is right.
And I often find that knowing your why often guides you quicker than not knowing your why.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So, so, so true.
You know what I mean? And knowing your why will sometimes answer questions which you don't have answers.
Oh my goodness, so true. Like, it takes you to places that you didn't even think you would get to. But that's the important part of asking the why. It's like a vehicle, and you don't really know exactly where the destination is. But as long as you're in the car going, that's the main thing.
What conversations do you guys have about the future?
Oh my gosh, we actually, when was it? Last weekend, went for shopping for engagement rings. So it's serious.
That escalated very fast. But why are you both going shopping for engagement rings?
Yeah, because I'm like a type A personality. I'm like hands on. I'm not saying I want to know exact, but he needs to know what I like.
Hold on. I thought engagement is ta-da.
It is ta-da, but like it's
ring.
A scripted ta-da.
Wow, but
It is, or at least to me. It mustn't be that, like, I know what's happening, when it's happening, what day. No, but at least now we're on the same page. Gosh, this is happening one day. Great. Yes. This is what I like. What do you like? Oh, nice. And then when it happens, it's still going to be like a, but it'll be even more perfect because you have sort of planned it. You know? Well, I think so.
How or when is it that you know that, you know what? Regardless of anything else,
yes,
I do want to spend the rest of my life with this person.
Deep question.
I'll tell you why I'm asking that question also, because I'm finding that a lot of relationships we're in are because that was the next person. So you've broken up with someone. Then the next person you meet, it's almost like we will make it work.
Right.
Versus... I don't know if I'm going to make it work, and I don't know if I'm willing to fight for this thing.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of us we settle into the next relationship. And if that fails, we settle into the next relationship.
Gosh, that's so true. And a bit scary. I think that it's like a thing of needing to be okay being alone.
Sure.
Because that can be hard. It's very difficult, especially if you're somebody who is, you know, very affectionate or needs that partner, you know, by your side. But I think that then it's like a bit of a disservice if you're just kind of settling for someone just because it's like, well, you're here, you know?
Yes.
But I think for me, the thing that made me know that this is the person I want to spend my life with is just assessing as much as possible their heart and their intentions, where they come from, their family, and then imagining what life would be if this person were the father of my children. Like, what would that look like when I'm busy, when he's busy, when the kids are sick, or, you know, is that somebody I feel like will be there truly, regardless of what happens? And the answer is yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wish you guys all the best.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
that. And with
that
ring, may it drag your arm down because it's heavy.
I hope so.
With a nice big rock.
My gosh, I hope so.
Now, I want us to talk about your qualification. Because I remember in my matric year, because I did a lot of... stage work in high school.
Yes, amazing.
So I remember in our matric year, the last term, while other kids were getting ready for exams, I was a part of three productions at the same time.
My goodness.
And one of them was Godspell.
Whoa.
And I remember my drama teacher saying, I can either give you a massive role in Godspell, or I can give you a minor role in Godspell. And make you a part of my theater in education team.
Whoa.
Because I know you're passionate about giving back. You're passionate about kids. So I chose to do the theater in education because it was a play about kids going, abused kids basically.
Mm.
And we went to primary schools with this play. Mm. And just seeing the immediate impact for me was incredible.
Wow.
And I'm asking you this, and I'm telling you the story.
Yes, incredible.
Because one of your qualifications is applied theater.
Yes.
In simple English, what is applied theater? And and how different is that to theater and education? Or is it the same thing with a different name?
Yeah, I think so. I think actually that would be, firstly, an incredible experience. And I think that you having an opportunity like that in matric is so integral, you know. And
I actually miss that era because I knew matric was here. But I didn't care because we were doing the Lord's work.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. That's incredible, honestly. I think theater and education and applied theater have more similarities than differences. It's understanding how art or theater is a vehicle for people to, as a mirror, or to see life in a way that maybe you can't with any other, you know, art form, you know. I think that I think it's one of the ways to truly change people's mindsets, you know. It's not easy to change how somebody, let's say, grew up or what they truly believe. But I think when you use theater and truly implement those tools, people begin to question, you know. Sometimes you can use humor when something is not really funny, but if you use it in the right way, it can make someone...
It'll plant a seed.
Why am I, you know?
So what would you say is the one pressing issue right now that applied theater could help amplify or conscientize people about? So let's say you have an unlimited budget.
Right.
And Minister McKenzie says, or the Department of Education says, what's the one issue you want us to throw budget at, put into theater, and take it out there?
I would always, like, the number one thing for me would be looking at the issue of how we, especially as young people, or how the youth is struggling with truly being able to find their identity. I think that a lot of young South African men or girls and boys have lost themselves, I think maybe for many reasons, but they don't really have a sense of, like, tradition and culture and spirituality. And I think that when you don't have that, then you kind of have this, like, mass voice that isn't always authentic. So I think that just kind of opening the eyes of young people to going back inside and exploring our history, not as, like, a bleak, sad thing, but truly understanding the sadness and darkness of it, but also how that has contributed to maybe why we have one mass voice, especially as young people. So it would definitely be looking at a workshop that would kind of take us back to our true
journey, back to self.
Yeah, exactly. That's so good. Yeah.
If you were to turn that applied theater piece, yes, journey into back to self,
yes,
into a movie, who's your cast? Unlimited budget.
Oh my goodness.
And are you in the movie, or are you directing the movie?
Oh my gosh.
You can't do both.
Oh my goodness gracious me. My goodness, this is so difficult. What a question.
That's why I do this job.
My gosh. I mean, look, I've been writing now, and I think that I've also grown to love being behind the scenes. So
sure.
I think, gosh, I can't do both. Okay, so I think I would choose to be behind.
Okay,
behind
so you direct the
movie. I would direct the movie.
Okay, who's the leading man? Who's the leading
gosh.
Woman? And who are the supports?
Oh, my word.
No pressure.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely no pressure. I would say South African cast, obviously.
It's up to you, dude. It's your budget. You can even bring God in if you can afford him.
Leading man would probably be Thabo Rametsi.
Okay, love Thabo.
Yeah, I think he's so good with just handling nuance and,
yes,
and complexity.
You know, I met Thabo,
yeah,
when we were shooting a DSTV ad together.
Stop, really?
Before he broke into...
Wow.
So
no, that's great.
So I know him from back then, when he was
so
still
good,
scratching at the door.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, and it like seems like he's just always been such a kind of focused,
yeah,
individual,
yeah,
you
yeah
know, and a caring person. So I think he would know. I also want, I like to work with people who are open to collaborating, and I love people adding and subtracting, you know, so I know maybe a lot of other directors might not want that, but
sure,
I would definitely want people who are open to contributing in that
okay
way.
Okay, so get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
okay.
Yeah, because I think then it makes it more believable and
yes,
authentic,
yes,
you know.
Leading lady?
Sure. Yo, that's a tough one, guys.
We're running out of time,
so please
hurry up with this cast.
Oh my gosh. Okay, leading lady would be, let's say, yeah, I would take a Thuso Mbedu. I think that, you know, she also embodies both a you know, she has weight, you know, in her
yeah
in her acting, but there's also like a youthfulness to her that I think would work for the journey back to self movie. Supporting cast as well.
Just one or two.
Okay, let's say why but I want to be in it. I can't be in it.
Okay, you can.
Okay,
but then you can't direct it then.
Oh, okay, never mind. Fine. Okay. Gosh, I would say these are the people that I've worked with. I would say Noxi
okay
Dlamini. She's
yeah
also really, really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe a Candice Mudisele. I would say maybe a, gosh, what's his name? He's also from Mabopane. His name's Thabo. Thabo, you know him. I don't know if you've watched the show Champions. He's in, have you seen Kalushi?
I saw Kalushi.
Yeah,
yes.
He's, gosh, what's his surname? His name's Thabo. He's from Mabopane as well. He's so funny.
Let me find out.
Yeah, Thabo something. Thabo, he's going to be so mad at me. I don't know his surname. Yeah, he was in the cast of Kalushi, and he was also supporting, and he's also in Champions, and he's, what else has he been in?
I found it from you right now.
Okay. Yeah, he was there, Thabo and Pearl and him.
Well, there's Thabo Rametsi, right?
Yeah, there's Thabo Rametsi,
yeah,
and then there's another one. He's got like a bit of a fro.
I'll find out for you in a second. Thabo Malema.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
He's so good. So hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, Thabo Malema. That would be my supporting. More?
From your mouth to the gods.
Yes.
And to God.
Yes.
May you find the budget for
that. Oh, my goodness. Movie. I receive that. Thank you so much. I receive it.
You're young in terms of how long you've been in the industry.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
What are you seeing already that you feel needs to change? Apart from everything.
Okay, so look, I think the positives are that we probably, especially in the film industry, have some of the most, like the best crews.
Sure.
Really, really hands-on, hardworking, amazing crews, you know. So in that way, like in that aspect, I don't think anything needs to change. But I think that we just need to remember that if we are wanting, especially now, you know, the African storytelling and our voice is at least now we're being given an opportunity to speak and sure. be heard. But then you also have to understand that there has to be a proper business model when it comes to making films and series. If you really want, I guess, the true definition of success when it comes to making films. And I think that we haven't even scratched at the surface of what it means to have proper financial investment in that space. And I mean, I know everywhere in the world, it's like people aren't going to watch movies anymore, but I think that we need to.
But I think the numbers are changing.
They are. That is also true. That is very true. Yeah. That is true. So I think the better the stories are and the more, especially as producers and directors, we are truly being that our focus is on telling the story. And yes, of course, there will be other elements. But I think that's the issue, is that you don't always have to cast people based on the hope that this will do good. It's more about if the story is good, it's going to sell. You know, you just obviously have to have everything else supporting it. But that should be at the heart of it. So I think that if we had more of that and then also just, you know, really pushing the stories internationally, I think that would help us grow our market, you know, because the ingredients are there. We just kind of have to
cook it up.
Yeah, exactly. We need a way bigger pot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you working on anything right now we can look forward to support you?
So it's interesting that you were asking me about whether or not I would want to be on screen or behind the scenes. So my mom has been really good at creating relationship with casting agents internationally. So that is something that is happening slowly but surely. I'm being patient with that. But I've already written a TV series that has sparked some interest with Amazon and Netflix. So I think I used to be a very like in a hurry person. So now I'm like, okay, no, this is good. It took me a while. I've been working on this since Rhodes, you know, so it's like God knows what he's doing. So that is what I'm currently working on. So I think next year, 2025 will be kind of the start of filming.
Your foundation, do you guys do at the Michelle Mosalakai Foundation?
Gosh, so much. Yeah.
And how do we get involved?
So we are on social media, we are online. So we are obviously still small and just doing our best. I think from the beginning, I've just always known that I wanted to, similar to you, just make true impact. You know, so we've done workshops. Actually, we go to there was an orphanage in Mabopane where we did a workshop, a music and drama workshop, because I think that's also important. I mean, we did obviously take supplies and everything, but there is an element of drama and entertainment that we feel we need to also, you know, give.
Absolutely.
So that's we've done that before a few times actually. And then I think it's just about going and speaking to young people. Some of them just want to be able to share, you know, and have the ability to hear different stories and different ways of coping with life, you know. So that's what we do, even though at the heart of it, it's always about what are your immediate needs, toiletries, food, etc. But then how do we impart something more, even more valuable than that? So we've done things in Diepsloot, in Mabopane, Witbank, Yeah.
Next time you're in Deep Sloot, let me know.
Okay.
I'll come and join you guys.
Amazing. Please. Absolutely.
And
you are so welcome. Please.
I'll add whatever value I'm able
to. Oh, my goodness. That would be, everyone's going to lose their minds. My goodness. We're going to have to, police escorts.
Yeah, because Michelle is there.
Nah,
what are you talking about?
Come on. Oh, my goodness. But I appreciate that.
No,
that would
there.
Be great.
Dude, anything to do with especially kids.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Uplifting kids.
Okay.
And helping reminding kids to think big.
Oh,
I'm there,
so
please use me.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, it just makes me... So when we went to play with the first team of Kaizer Chiefs, a blessing in and of itself. So my mom and I created a relationship with Coach Arthur Zwane, and he came and watched one of our games and just loved the whole vision. So we went and played, and obviously the guys were starstruck. You can only imagine. You
like,
know,
I don't know if I should pass the ball or ask for an autograph.
Exactly, you know? So they played well, you know. They were at least also in the second half, they kind of switched on, you know. But the lesson, I think, for them and for me is that sometimes, you know, you have to, God will, like, you'll pray for something and God is incredible. He, there's nothing too big or small, and he'll, you know, give you this opportunity. But if you aren't truly believing that you are worth what you pray for or actually the thing that's in front of you, you can stumble, you can fumble, you know. So I don't think they did, but I think that it was almost too good to believe, you know, that how is it that I this
have access
you
to,
know I'm like yes. I come from Deep Sloot, I don't know, you know. But it's, that's how God is. He doesn't pick and choose who to, you know, give opportunities to.
And I think it's one thing a lot of African kids unfortunately will struggle with, because a lot of African kids don't have access to opportunities, they don't have access to certain spaces,
right?
That you sometimes can't blame a kid, despite how talented they are, despite how they belong in that space. You can't blame a kid for feeling like, but no, man, I don't belong
here.
You're
so right.
I feel
like
I'm an outsider.
You're so right.
You know what I mean? So I think it's important that we remind kids who the hell they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That their dreams are truly, truly valid, you know? And I think for me, it just, I kind of had to also check myself and I guess check my privilege, because I started to get mad, like, watching them not be the amazing talented players
that you know them to
you
be.
Know but yeah. then I'd like click, like, oh, okay, wait, like, there is privilege in being able to, you know, sit with people that understand their worth, you know. And that, like you're saying, is something that I am, like, also very passionate about, making them understand, you know. So yeah.
What's the rest of the week looking like for Michelle?
Oh, gosh. Okay. A lot of meetings.
Yeah.
We are also preparing, like I said, for the new league.
Okay.
So we'll have a few meetings regarding that. We are also preparing for the NetBank Cup. That's also going to be happening. So a lot of tactical, technical, administrative planning. And I think we'll be coming to the Market Theatre actually on Friday for a show with my old drama teacher, Andrew Buckland.
Yeah.
So yeah, busy week, a lot of soccer planning. Meetings. I have to also film a self-tape.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot happening.
Now, your first ever role came from an impromptu audition.
Oh my gosh, how do you know this?
So when you do a self-tape, do you overthink it, or do you remember how you got into the industry?
Gosh, these questions are so good.
And therefore, you remind yourself where you come from. So a self-tape shouldn't be a big deal, surely.
It's such a good question, honestly, because, like, without, I guess, I don't even know how you know this, but it's like, I look back at how easy I was like, gliding, you know, when I first started. The fear, or like the, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, was exciting, you know? But the more knowledge and experience I got, for some reason, the more anxious I got, or the more like, I need to make this...
The more cautious you become.
Yes, you know? Yeah. And I don't know why, because that's not my nature at all, you know? So I now think, you know, it's almost like a cycle of life. You know, I now know that I need to go back, like you're saying, go back to to who I am and remember how it began, you know?
In fact, if majority of adults retapped into the naive child they once were, they'd probably be more brave to try new things.
Oh my goodness.
But as we grow, as we grow up, we become so much more careful.
Absolutely.
So guarded.
So true.
You think if I climb the tree, I'm going to fall.
Yeah.
But when we were kids, we didn't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I need to climb the tree. That's
And if I fall, it's fine. There's another tree.
Yeah, I'm going to climb another one. That's so true.
And the reason I'm saying this is because to remind you where you come from. Don't forget where you come from. And don't forget to tap into that young woman that got you here. Because without that bravery of that woman, you wouldn't be here right now.
So true.
So please remember that.
My goodness. Thank you so much. Yeah, I definitely needed to hear that. Yeah, no, that is excellent, excellent advice. And there's so much peace with that, you know, when you really look at it holistically and then also just remember where it all started.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Michelle, we are out of time.
Oh my gosh, this has been so good.
My manager is looking at your momager and saying they're talking
too
much.
So I feel like we just started. It's been so good.
But
thank you.
Like I said, I've been a massive fan of yours for the last four or five years. So thank you for the talent. Thank you for everything. And we'll see you at the top, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
And
I really
appreciate
you.
You have a drummer in your life to play drum
exactly,
role
always
for
me.
Moments.
He might as I don't even know why he didn't bring his drums here, to be honest. But it's fine. I'll sort it out.
Yeah. Michelle, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Mosalakai is about to leave the building.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And we are done. Another show in the can. Thank you very much, as always, for hanging out with us on Wow, What a Week. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, share, copy, paste, share far, wide, and with as many people as you are able to. Coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to Trevor and the team at Pezulu Works for all the production. Pezulu Works will turn any event of yours into a movie. Hit them up, Pezulu Works, with an X at the end. Pezulu Works. Shout out to our show producer, Thabiso Sikwane, and to our executive producer, Keletso Modisa King. Until next week, have yourselves a wow week in spite of yourselves.